Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has an expansive and varied mission. Managing its resources efficiently and effectively, and as one DHS, is key to its successfully meeting that mission. It also requires the department to pursue a focused procurement and acquisition strategy that more effectively aligns resources and DHS strategic objectives. What is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's acquisition strategy? How is DHS enhancing its acquisition oversight? And what is DHS doing to better manage its resources and execute its overall mission? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Welcome, Nick. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Kruser. George, welcome.
Thank you.
Nick, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can provide us with essentially the history and mission of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and its Office of Chief Procurement Officer.
Yeah, thanks. I guess sort of to start out, I'd like to say I've been with the department now for about 11 months. And coming in, we have very strong leadership across the board, but in particular in my area, acquisition from Secretary Napolitano, Deputy Secretary Lute, who's also our Chief Operating Officer, and the Undersecretary for Management, Rafael Boris, who also wears the hat of Chief Acquisition Officer, which is very important in my world. Specifically, the mission, as all of us know, is to ensure that the homeland is safe, secure, and resilient against terrorism and other hazards, specifically within the Chief Procurement Officer office, as well as the component acquisition personnel around the department. We spend nearly $20 billion a year, and that's 46% of the DHS discretionary budget. Our current focus is on sort of three phases in acquisition: requirements, definition, the procurement process itself, and then finally managing programs.
Nick, given DHS's critically important mission, I want to understand the operational scope of the DHS portfolio. How is the department organized, the size of its budget, number of full-time employees, and can you give us a sense of its geographical footprint?
Yes. So as we commemorate the 10th year anniversary of 9/11 and the establishment of DHS, much progress has been made to create one DHS. And some specifics are DHS budget, in this sort of rough order of magnitude, $55 billion with a discretionary budget of $42 billion. So of the $42 billion, we buy people and we establish contracts. People, we have about 230,000 employees. Seven operational components under the DHS headquarters structure, and people are all over the United States, and we have a footprint internationally as well.
Wonderful. You sort of alluded to it earlier, but I'd like to get a little bit more into your specific role as Chief Procurement Officer within DHS. What are your specific responsibilities and duties? Maybe you can give us a sense of the areas under your purview, and how do you support DHS's overall mission?
So under me, there are 1,400 contracting professionals spending nearly $20 billion a year. We have roughly 18,000 long-term contracts and 98,000 contract actions that are performed by these 1,400 contracting personnel. My procurement workforce provides support for 500 programs that directly impact the DHS mission.
Nick, regarding your responsibilities and duties, can you talk a little bit about the two or three biggest challenges you have?
Well, I guess first thing I'd have to do is say thanks to all the previous CPOs who were here before me. So there was Greg Rothwell, who was the first CPO, and then Elaine Duke, followed by Tom Essig, and then Rick Gunderson acted for 18 months in the role. And all of them did a significant amount of work that I am sort of building upon what they had put in place. The three challenges I sort of put into my four priorities, or I kind of look at them as four broad areas of challenge that we have. One is people. Two is contracting. Three is program support. And the last one is industry-government communication, which is a priority that I've established that I want to institutionalize within the department. Specifically in people, we need to have the right people. The business that we do, acquisition, all of the contracting actions, 98,000, gets done by people. We have to have quality people, so that is my first priority. My second priority is contracting. There's a ton of things we have to do in contracting, very specifically fiscal austerity, which means I've got to find ways to enhance competition, reduce high-risk contracts, and basically get a good deal for the government. The third one is program support. So we're not in the business of just awarding contracts. We award contracts to support programs that then meet the mission of the agency. So what are we doing in the contracting community to enhance program support? And there's a number of things that we're doing there. And then the last one is we want to engage industry at the appropriate points in the acquisition process so that ultimately, again, we get a better deal.
You said you've been with DHS for 11 months. I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about what you did before you came to DHS.
Yeah, so I began my career in industry bidding on defense contracts right out of college. Then I came into the government with the National Science Foundation, where I began to award contracts, and then moved over to the Internal Revenue Service, where I spent 19 years awarding contracts, essentially doing every role within the acquisition process, and ultimately ended up in IRS working directly for the IRS commissioner on a very specific project that was outside of acquisition but involved acquisition because we needed contractor support. There was a gentleman who flew a small plane into one of our buildings in Austin, Texas. As a result of that tragedy, the commissioner wanted to do a review of all of our 660 IRS buildings. I was selected as the project executive to do that. I was working that when this wonderful opportunity came about. Many people encouraged me to come to DHS, and I came to DHS for several reasons, knowing that it is a tough place to work, but knowing also that the mission is critical and everybody who works in DHS is very passionate about the mission.
Nick, given your experience, what's the characteristics? What are some of the essential characteristics of an effective leader?
The characteristics are paying attention to the environment and change, focusing on employees, customers, and results. Great leaders promote leadership at all levels. We can, and I view leadership from many perspectives, and I'll just give you the example of the earthquake that we all recently experienced. When we were experiencing the earthquake, what I saw was obviously I have my leadership role in making sure that my employees reach safety. In addition to that, I was able to view many other people in between who were acting as leaders to ensure that all people who were in the area reached safety or were safe in general. So you can always observe leadership at all levels, and I try to pull from all of that. I think an effective leader is also a winner, so I'm a tennis player. That's what I enjoy doing. In that sport, you have to, again, sort of do everything it takes to win, which is also the same sort of qualities that you need in successful leadership. You have to take a look at the environment. You have to pay attention to change and plan for that. You need to treat people, your employees, extremely well. You need to take care of your customers. And ultimately, you need to drive business results. In my world, that means I've got to be able to demonstrate we're getting a good deal for the government.
Well, I'd be interested to know who has influenced your leadership style and management approach.
I would say it is my observation of leadership in many people. So I could point to some specifics. I certainly could point to the one that's closest to me, which are my parents. When it comes to leadership, a risk is a big part of that. My parents came here in 1961 without a penny and without a relative and actually lived and sort of made the American dream. So risk-taking was something that I grew up around. And business, we had small businesses. So all that it takes to be successful in small businesses, we actually had nursery schools. So, that's people's most precious commodity. And, you've got to really demonstrate leadership in that particular business across the board if you want to be successful. And we were. But again, I would just say I've observed leadership and continue to in everybody at all levels. And it's the same thing that I try to promote in our organization across the board is we need everybody to lead.
What is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's acquisition and procurement strategy? We will ask Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.